I'm Lynn Neary. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is out sick. Coming up in your ear with the music group Los Amigos Invisibles. But first, for the last few weeks, NPR's investigative team has worked with reporters at the Center for Public Integrity, or CPI, on a sensitive topic, sexual assaults on college campuses. The center interviewed 33 students who reported having been sexually assaulted by another student. Only four alleged attackers were expelled, and two of those after multiple accusations of sexual misconduct. But one campus that is taking a different approach is the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. There, a young sexual assault victim did find a measure of justice when the school expelled her attacker. And I want to mention that this story might not be appropriate for some because the discussion does involve some explicit details. Host Michelle Martin recorded this conversation last week, and she was joined by Paul Irish, the Dean of Student Conduct and Community Standards at the College of the Holy Cross, and Kristen Lombardi, a staff writer at the Center for Public Integrity. She reported a series of stories on this topic. Lombardi talked about how the CPI gathered data for this investigative series.
We got our hands on the only database on sexual assault proceedings at institutions of higher education nationwide, and it shows that schools rarely expel students who are found responsible for sexual assault. Much more common were seemingly modest penalties, such as reprimands, counseling, community service, suspensions. The data also included other restrictions. In our interviews with administrators, they told us that would typically be educational penalties like required alcohol treatment.
One of the exceptions to that pattern that you found was that of a girl named, how do we pronounce it, Melandy?
It's Melandy, actually.
Melandy. And she was a student at the College of the Holy Cross. And would you just give us, as briefly as you can, just tell us about her circumstances?
Melanie had accused a friend of raping her in a public bathroom in an academic building on campus on the last night of her spring semester, freshman year, in May 2007. Melanie had been drinking that night, she says, for the first time, and she was inebriated. Her alleged attacker was also drinking. They were both at a party. They'd been hanging out together with friends. She says her alleged attacker lured her to this public bathroom and assaulted her, and she was incapable and unaware of resisting. And he says that she was a willing participant and had consensual sex. There was no physical evidence. There was no corroborating eyewitnesses of the alleged assault itself. It was a very difficult case to determine the truth, and we heard repeatedly from college administrators these kinds of he said, she said cases are very, very difficult for them to adjudicate.
But in this case, the person whom she accused was expelled.
And yes, he was found responsible.
I want to turn to Dean Irish at this point. I'm going to ask, what is the policy regarding sexual assault at the college? And why was this student expelled under that policy?
We have a very detailed descriptive policy in place. And these cases really hinge on two key items that we talk about from the time students come at orientation to the training of our boards. Around incapacitation through alcohol. And if somebody is incapacitated, they cannot give consent to engage in sexual activity. It's very clear in our handbook and throughout the information that we provide to students. And prior to my arrival at Holy Cross in 2004, a lot of work had been done on really descriptive types of examples of what could be considered sexual assault.
Was this policy in place when this incident occurred?
Yes.
So the both parties had reason to know what the rules were.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the young woman in this situation spoke to, you know, the clarity of the policy is something that was helpful for her as she's reviewing it and trying to weigh her options of whether she wanted to enter into a very unpleasant judicial proceeding. The language was there for her to look at and say, well, you know, I was incapacitated and I didn't give consent. And I think that was helpful for her.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about reporting spearheaded by the Center for Public Integrity that found that the rate of sexual assault on college campuses is high, but even more importantly, that men or young men who are found responsible for committing an act are rarely punished in any significant way. And we're talking about this with Kristen Lombardi, who's a reporter with the Center for Public Integrity. We're also talking with Paul Irish from the College of the Holy Cross, and we're talking about a specific case that was an exception to this pattern, where a young man was expelled after he was found responsible for assaulting a young woman, a friend. Kristen, when you met Melody, one of the things that stood out for me from this reporting is that she waited quite some time to report the assault. She had to know that it would have been difficult, but what made her want to go forward? What was it that made her say, I really have to go forward and pursue some action here?
What really prompted Melody, she told me, was returning to campus in the fall of 2008 and seeing her alleged attacker on campus and having to face him, not knowing when she would have to face him. Holy Cross is not a very big campus, and so when she walked around on campus, she could, you know, encounter him. And that is what I think prompted her to go to Holy Cross public safety officers.
She didn't go to law enforcement outside of the campus. She only pursued this complaint with campus public safety officers. Is that correct?
Yes. That's and correct. Melody was very, very aware of, I guess, the challenges, you would say, to adjudicating her case. She knew she was late in reporting. She knew she didn't have forensic evidence. She knew that it would be a question of credibility. She was intimidated by the criminal justice process. For those reasons, she felt like proving her case beyond a reasonable doubt would be really, really difficult. And she wanted to pursue the campus process first. She told us that she had it in her head that, you know, she would see how it goes with the campus process and perhaps pursue criminal charges. She ended up not pursuing criminal charges after her proceeding.
Why did these cases never become a matter for the criminal justice system?
Well, that is really dependent, I think, on the student themselves. The vast majority of them also went to local authorities and tried to press criminal charges. But oftentimes, local prosecutors chose not to take these cases. And they were left with campus judicial proceedings as their course of recourse.
So, Dean Irish, what was the process by which this case was investigated? What happens after a student, or I guess presumably any member of the campus community, comes forward with a complaint like this? What happens
sure.
then?
I think it happens before a student comes with a complaint through training our officers. Most of the officers at Holy Cross are trained sexual assault investigators so that it's not just a student versus student. But in this case, if a student went to public safety, we say that they drive the process. Do they want it to go to the DA? Do they want it to go to the student conduct office? You know, do they want it more time to make a decision on how they're going to proceed? So it's really empowering, you know, the student to make those decisions along the way.
Kristen, I commend you because you also sought out the other side of the story, which is the student who was expelled. And his name, you give him a pseudonym, Jordan?
Yes.
Right. So Jordan says that he was also intoxicated. And he says that this was consensual. And he, in this proceeding, he didn't have an advocate, which he would have had in criminal court. And I have to ask you, Dean, do you think that's fair?
I think it is, because it is a student-to-student hearing with advisors that are not advocates for them in a hearing, like you might think of as an attorney in a court of law. It's really the student asking the questions and answering them. And you know, it is not a court of law. It's a hearing to determine whether the rules at our college about sexual misconduct were broken.
Well, the thing, I guess, but that's part of what I guess what I'm having trouble with articulating is that there's something about this that is not the same as, this is not the same as somebody sort of crawling into somebody's room or breaking down their door and assaulting them. That there are issues around conduct on both parties. And I sort of wondered, are women just kind of walking around as like potential victims here? Or are they being taught anything about the way they should conduct themselves in these situations. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's like the pendulum swung from where you're a good girl or you're a bad girl, and if you're not a good girl, then anything can be done to you, and nobody's supposed to say anything, to the point where, you know, boys or young men are all potential predators, and they're always responsible if something bad happens. You know what I mean? Do you hear what I'm saying?
But I think on college campuses, we've focused a lot on talking to young women about, you know, partying safe and not leaving your friend alone and watching your drink and that. But I think we haven't done enough with our young men to say, you know, if you get involved with a young woman and you do not know her all that well and you've been drinking, you know, this is a warning sign. This is not something that you want to engage in because of what possible consequences could be. And we know that in these situations that young men and women are not clearly communicating about, you know, what they want to engage in and what's okay in each step, and that doesn't happen. And that's part of the confusion and the issue on our campuses.
And Krista, can I just ask you finally, did Jordan feel he had done anything wrong?
I would say no. And he was not different from any of the other accused students who were found responsible that we interviewed. You know, all of them still believe that they, or at least they maintained to us, that they had engaged in consensual sex. If they were found responsible, a lot of them believed and articulated to us that they felt that they were pressured to confess to the complaining student's version of events. I can't say that we spoke with anybody who felt in hindsight that they had done anything wrong, and that includes actually a student that we did interview in a Texas prison right now who had been accused of raping 4 Texas A&M students. And even he says that all 4 of those students had willingly engaged in sex, that college is about drinking and sex, and a lot of drunk sex goes on, and that's just the way it is. I think it's a really interesting question, actually, for educators.
And when you confronted him with the policy that said if, by definition, the other party is intoxicated and therefore consent cannot be given, what did he say to that?
You know, he basically believes that consent was given. Mm-hmm. That is what he believes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he mentioned that he was drinking as well. And he suggested that Melody was not too drunk to consent.
Is he bitter about what happened?
Well, he's very upset that he was expelled. He believes the process was unfair.
And how does she feel now? How does Melody feel now?
I think Melody would tell you that she's at peace. She is unlike all the other students that we've interviewed in the sense that she did not feel like she had to drop out. She's going to graduate in May. She told me she's ready to be somebody. And, you know, her process, her proceeding, you know, worked in her favor.
Well, you've raised some very rich and important issues with this reporting and with this series. And so, Kristen, we appreciate that. And Dean, we sure appreciate your taking the time to discuss this. So I wanted to ask for a final thought. Dean, what would you like people to draw from this?
Well, I think this is a pervasive problem on all our campuses. It's very underreported. And we really have to ask, why is it so underreported? What can we do to make victims feel comfortable to come forward, to feel supported, and to let people know that when there is an outcome, that it's a very serious outcome with everlasting, you know, life-altering, consequences.
Paul Irish is the Dean of Student Conduct and Community Standards at the College of the Holy Cross, and he was kind enough to join us from Boston. Kristen Lombardi is a staff writer at the Center for Public Integrity. She joined us from our bureau in New York. And I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
To hear more of NPR's investigative series on sexual assault on college campuses, please go to our website. Just go to npr.org.